Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the Gospel lesson, John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. We read these words again in the name of our Lord. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that, the Jews argued among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like your fathers ate and died. The one who eats this bread will live forever." These are the words of our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house to hear your word. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith through it. Take away our doubts and fears. And once again reassure us that Jesus is our Savior. Grant us a richer measure of your Spirit. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the real foolish thing that people often say about him. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let's not come up with any patronizing nonsense about this being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. What sort of things did Jesus say that would cause Lewis to conclude he's either a lunatic or exactly what he claimed to be? He's either the devil of hell or the Son of God. Did you hear what Jesus said in our text? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What type of man could make that statement, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life? But if you eat my blood, or drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have eternal life, and I'm going to raise you up on the last day? Lewis is right. He's either a lunatic, reads exactly what he said. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven, that was given for the life of the world, and that gives eternal life to all who eat by faith." So Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven. This section of John chapter 6 is really the pinnacle of the sermon that Jesus taught in the synagogue at Capernaum that day. And there's been a long progression leading up to this point, so I'm going to give you a brief overview of that. Jesus had fed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He then quickly got his disciples into a boat away from the crowd. He himself went up on a mountain to pray all by himself, walked across the water, got in the boat, got the disciples to Capernaum. The next day, the crowds came looking for him. Jesus said, "You're not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs. You're looking because I filled your bellies." And then he urged the crowd to no longer labor for food that doesn't last, but rather food that will last, that will give eternal life. The crowd responded by saying, "Well, what works, what labor does God want us to do?" Jesus very succinctly said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Then the crowd asked for a sign. They said, "Hey, Moses gave manna from heaven, bread from heaven. What sign are you going to do?" Jesus then took that image of the manna, the bread that came down from heaven, and applied it properly to himself. He said, "Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is the one who comes down from the Father. He's the true bread." Then Jesus said, "I'm the bread of heaven." Now the crowd immediately began to grumble. They said, "How can he say he came down from heaven? We know Joseph, we know Mary. We know his mom and dad. How can he make this bold claim?" Jesus refuted the crowd, not by backing away from the claim, but by simply telling them, "Stop grumbling." He then even quoted Isaiah 54, where it says, paraphrased it by saying, "They will all be taught by God." Jesus didn't back away from the thought, from the fact that he had come down from heaven. No, you could say he actually amped it up. They're all taught by God. There is the implicit claim that Jesus is God, that he came down from heaven. That's really talking about the incarnation of God the Son. That Jesus was no mere human. He was God in the flesh. And that was necessary. It was necessary that God send the living bread from heaven, God incarnate, to be able to give eternal life to the world. So Jesus is the living bread. Every other bread that we have in this life, it rots and decays. It doesn't last forever. And neither do the people that eat it. Jesus is living bread. It doesn't die. Jesus is living bread because he is the Son of God. Now, how can we know that's true? How can we know that Jesus isn't just a lunatic. The answer is the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is the Son of God. And it proves that everything that Jesus claimed about himself is true. So that means that Jesus is the living bread. That means Jesus is the one who came down from heaven. He is the one who the Father sent. Everything that he claims about himself is true. He's the living bread that came down from heaven. He is God in the flesh. Jesus said that he would give his flesh for the life of the world. In that simple sentence in our text, Jesus was explaining the cost of being living bread for all people. We're often aware of the cost of the things that we do and the things that happen in our life. So here's an example, or a couple of examples. Car breaks down. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Maybe for some it's, wow, what's wrong? But if that's the first one, the one shortly after that is, what's it going to cost? Okay. We take that trip to the ER. Yep, what's wrong? What's it going to cost? We get pulled over for that traffic ticket. It's not normally, what was I doing? We're well aware of that. What's the question? What's it going to cost? We're well aware that even in our earthly lives, the things that happen to us and the things that we do have a cost. That's true in our spiritual lives too. That little lie that you told, what's the cost? That inappropriate movie that you watched, what's the cost? The juicy gossip that you couldn't just help but share, what's the cost? Jesus tells us what the cost is. I give my flesh for the life of the world. Every sinful choice you have has a cost. The Bible is so clear that the wages of sin is death. That's what your sinful choices and actions earn. So to be able to give eternal life to the world, to be the living bread, Jesus paid the cost. He paid in his flesh and with his flesh. He suffered God's anger in the torment on the cross. Yes, the nails piercing and the crown of thorns, all that gory, fleshly suffering. But internally, he bore the greatest cost of sin, separation from God. Cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus has paid the cost of all mankind's sins so that he could be the living bread. And so that everyone who believes in him, everyone who eats that bread by faith, has eternal life. Now, some, when they look at John chapter 6, this sermon, they wonder, what on earth is Jesus talking about? Okay. How can you eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, if you were to look throughout that sermon, Jesus is talking about faith. Here's just a few examples. Okay? So in verse 28 and 29, I referenced this before. So they said to him, "What should we do to carry out the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So you might say this is the preface to the whole discourse after this. It's about believing in him. But further on in verse 47, he says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, the one who believes in me has eternal life." Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. They are eating and drinking Christ's flesh and blood. They're receiving the life that that flesh and blood earned for them on the cross. And another one in verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." So how does one eat this bread and receive eternal life? By faith. By believing that Jesus isn't a lunatic, he's the Son of God in human flesh, and that he gave his body into death to pay the debt of our sins, to pay the cost. If you believe that Jesus died for you, you are eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You are receiving eternal life. So eat. Drink deeply of the rich forgiveness that Jesus has won for you. Because when we cut through all the symbolism and the figurative speech, even that of eternal life, what does it mean to have eternal life? It means that your sins are forgiven. It doesn't just mean that you're going to live forever. It means that which has caused you to suffer death has now been taken away. It was nailed to the cross. So whenever you hear the good news that Jesus is your Savior, that your sins are forgiven in him, you are feasting on his flesh and blood and receiving eternal life. Now, in a very visible way, those who receive the sacrament are eating and drinking life. In a very visible way, you will receive Christ's body and blood, as he said, for the forgiveness of sins. And Luther was right when he said, where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. So you may be weighed down today with the cost of your sins, burdened with guilt, troubled over what that means for you and your relationship in God. Jesus invites you to come, eat and drink, and receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Now, those of you who have not and are not prepared for the Lord's Supper, you boys and girls, you are feasting in no less richer way, because Jesus' word is bringing you the living bread. Believe that Jesus died for you, and you have eternal life. So, a lunatic or the Son of God, fall at his feet and worship Him as Lord and God, because He is what He claims, the living bread. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.